The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Every year, issues around student accommodation shortages are raised as many struggle to find somewhere to live in the lead up to the new academic term. On top of high rents and limited supply, Gardaí have now issued a warning about rising incidents of rental scams in that student market. Our reporter Jessica Woodlock has been looking into this and she's with me now. Jessica, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So just a couple of weeks to go until the start of another year for third level students. What is the situation on the ground for accommodation?
So as it stands, Pat, thousands of students around the country don't have somewhere to live ahead of this new academic term. And I've been reaching out to student unions who've told me their inboxes are literally full with people still looking for accommodation with just a couple of weeks to go at this point. And this just isn't your 18-year-old first-year undergraduate student or international student who may be unfamiliar with how things work, Pat. The message I've gotten very clearly is that this is affecting all levels of students from first years to final years, all the way up to doctorate level.
So who have you been speaking to?
So I spoke to El Sage Alloway. She's a final year PhD student in the University of Galway. She was living with her partner, who's also a final year PhD student, in an apartment in Galway for the last number of years. However, in June, she was served a notice to leave because her landlord was turning 90 and had decided to give the apartment to family members. And El Sage told me that they started looking for somewhere straight away, but the trouble started at the very first place they looked at.
She straight up told us too that she wanted to be cash each month, that we would get no receipts of the bills. We would get no, we couldn't get our names on the utility bills. And so we'd also have no proof of address for living there. And the best she would do is write a written contract so that we could try to use that as a proof of address, which is just not actually feasible. And especially, it was a huge red flag straight away that, she only wanted cash and that we would have no receipts even given to us for the bills anyway. So we didn't go with that place. And then we did find another place that we were going to go with. It looked really secure and it was also actually affordable. We really should have, realized it was a scam because realistically anywhere in Galway right now is more than you should almost pay for a mortgage. But that place, the woman showed us her passport ID via email so that she was this person, but she was working up in Leeds, UK, and she was this Northern Irish woman. And so she had a different agency to go through so that they would vet us and everything. And it all looks really, official. It was an official email. It was an official address to go through that was supposed to fill it out. But when we actually sent the deposit and everything, we noticed that suddenly it was going to Spain and to some man. And fortunately, at least, we were able to cancel the funds before we finalized and went through. So we were able to get everything back. But it was a scam. And it was really crazy because when we reported it to the Garda that it was a rental scam, because we didn't lose any funds, it was actually not an official crime. So they couldn't do anything, despite the fact that this poor woman's ID, her actual passport from Northern Ireland, was stolen to pose as this too. So it wasn't just a rental scam, it was also identity theft.
Not sure how that isn't a crime, to be quite honest, Jessica. So these people, two unfortunate experiences. One, they meet a tax dodger who's wants the rent in cash, and then they meet a scammer. Did they eventually find somewhere?
No, Pat, they didn't. And she told me that both her and her partner had to take time off work from their studies and university commitments to pack and arrange for accommodation that just kept falling through. And the situation is actually getting so bad in Galway that the Rental Tenancies Board actually launched an investigation into the city in recent months because they found that census figures for the number of students living there don't even nearly match up with what's being registered officially. And Gardaí have now also issued a warning about this, highlighting some of the red flags to watch for. So they're warning about a landlord refusing to meet you in person, creating a sense of urgency around the accommodation, or if they don't let you see it in advance and ask for money through Revolut, cash or a wire. And as we heard there from El Sage's experience, people are falling for these scams because the pressure to get somewhere is so intense and the demand is so high. But Pat, things can also not go to plan with legitimate landlords and property agencies.
We continue to search, and our property manager, who's our current property manager of our apartment, suggested the place in Moycullen, and we were delighted by this. And so everything was going through. We paid the deposit, but then the landlord, 8 days before we were supposed to move in, decided, instead of finalizing and signing the rental contract, that he actually was going to give it to someone else that he actually knew in person. And so the property manager apologized to us and gave us back the deposit, but that meant that we weren't moving in, you know, to this other apartment. So we're kind of now sitting in limbo where we're still applying to places, but we're having to look an hour radius around the university, considering places as far out as like Gort or Athlone or Tuam, because there's hardly anything in the actual area. It's been very stressful, and especially with newly moving into a place and then not, it's just caused a lot of frustration, because, you know, we're supposed to be focusing on the final year for our studies and being able to just focus on what we're doing, and we're not, because we don't know where we're going to be living.
That's Elsage Alloway talking about her experience of the student rental market. And I mean, the college, Galway's a lot of land. I'm just wondering whether they don't bring in shipping containers or do something like that to alleviate the situation for their own students. So that's Galway. What's happening in Dublin?
Well, supply is also a huge issue, as we know, in the capital. I spoke with Emily Cathcart from DCU Student Union. She's the Vice President for Community and Citizenship. And she told me that she has been dealing with concerns from students all summer, and in particular concerns from international students coming over to Dublin.
People are panicking. Students are panicking. Their parents are panicking in some cases. They're emailing me, you know, quite understandably saying, I have nowhere to live. I'll be arriving in just a couple of weeks and I've nowhere to live. And at this point, a lot of students are asking for emergency short-term accommodation. So we get a lot of queries about from international students specifically, who are both very worried about rental scams and also can't find accommodation. So very often, for example, I'll get a student email me and they'll say, you know, I've been in touch with this landlord. You know, can you provide some clarity on if they exist or not? Because unfortunately, international students, you know, they can't visit a property in person, which is one of our biggest pieces of advice for domestic students, is to try and visit a property in person and to make sure that it's not a scam. Already in the past couple of weeks, we've had two and potentially one more, so three scams that we found from international students contacting us. One, for example, a student was being asked for 4 months' rent upfront plus a deposit for a student residence. And when we looked into it, the student residence did not exist. The website was fake. The location where it was didn't exist on Google Maps. And no one had ever heard of it before. And unfortunately, the reality is that the students who are coming to us, who are reaching out to the student union, are just a small fragment of our incoming international and Erasmus students. And we're very worried that students are being targeted by these rental scams. And in many cases, they're very sophisticated. And if you're not from Ireland, there's really no way for you to know if it's real or not.
And that was Emily Cathcart from DCU Student Union. Now, clearly, these scams are on the rise. But in terms of affordability, if you do find a place, what are you hearing from students?
So union reps and students have told me they feel like they're being priced out of accommodation. And Pat, just to give you some examples of what we're seeing around the country, in Maynooth, you're looking at paying around €7,000 for a single room for the academic term. So that's
this is on-campus accommodation.
That's on-campus accommodation.
Official accommodation.
Official accommodation, but it is just for an academic term, so 9 months in total. And in Galway, that €7,000 goes up to about €9,000. And in the University College Cork, a single ensuite bedroom will put you out around €7,000, with doubles going up to €9,000. In University of Limerick, prices are around €8,000 again. And while in Dublin, there's a range of universities, as we know, and you'll be paying anywhere from about €6,500 right up to €12,000 for that 9-month term.
So where are we seeing the 12 grand prices?
So the 12,000 euro accommodation refers to an ensuite room in UCD's Belfast campus. It'll set you back exactly 11,888 euro for 9 months. And Pat, just to remember that all of these accommodations, they don't include any extra bills on top of these costs. And this room that I mentioned from UCD is one of the most expensive on-campus rooms for students for this year.
And now, they don't have to pay for heat and light. Do they have to pay for internet?
Well, it's actually changed over the years. I know from my own experience in DCU, when I started college, you didn't have to pay. And by the end, you very much had to pay for your electricity bills and everything on top of it. And it's the same, I imagine, for a lot of other universities around the country. And just to get a feel for what this is like for people, I spoke to Michael Roach, the UCD Student Union President, about these high costs in his university and the limited options that are actually out there for students.
You know, I've often given the example that in the commercial space, it would be like a news agent in Ballyhaunas beginning to operate on Grafton Street. It really comes down to that kind of cut and dry lens that the model just really isn't working for students. It's not sustainable, and it certainly locks a cohort of students out of the student experience in the university. And like, things that I've noticed around my time in UCD is that there's students who commute massive distance every day. So you know, some people have commutes of 2 hours, 2 to 3 hours, and it's just a huge issue. And like, being a student is so much more than being inside of a lecture theatre. Anyone who goes to university will tell you that they often learn more outside of it. And what we find is that there's a certain group of students now who are simply locked out of that experience simply because they can't afford the accommodation. Students oftentimes find themselves then in really exploitative situations. And I'm particularly looking at the international student cohort and the first year cohort, who are going to be a bit new to Dublin's rental market and mightn't have the understanding that students in second, third and fourth year do now. And what they find is they enter digs accommodations, which when they work can be fantastic, but when they don't work can be very exploitative. On the extreme ends of things, I've heard of people being put in sexual exploitation while in digs accommodation. And then on the minor end of things, I knew a girl who wasn't allowed to boil the kettle past 8:30. And what you find is that students who find themselves in these situations once again are being exploited. And it's simply because the accommodation situation is so bad.
Now, that was Michael Roach, UCD Student Union President. Some of the comments coming in. My daughter wanted to start a master's in Galway this year. Instead, she's going to Scotland to do the same course because it's cheaper and accommodation was easier to source. That's from Peter. There are huge car parks in UCD, DCU, TUD, etc., where mobile homes could be installed. Hundreds, maybe thousands of students could be accommodated in this way. That's from Hugh Mullen in Dublin. I'm not sure about the mobile homes, you know, a caravan park kind of thing. But there's no doubt, and I mentioned earlier, the shipping container accommodation they have in Holland, which, you know, is very safe, secure and very comfortable for a student. A desk, a bed, telly, all that works, air conditioning. Why not? And it can be put there and it'll last for 30, 40 years, but it can be removed very quickly if it is no longer required. Anyway, we got a commitment from government to build more purpose-built accommodation for students. So where are we with that, Jess?
That's right, Pat. So government have a new student accommodation strategy in development, and the National Development Plan also commits to funding this area. The issue remains at the moment, though. The new term starts in just a couple of weeks, and the key problem is that demand far outstrips supply. We heard Michael Roach mention digs options, and this, along with rent-a-room schemes that offer tax reliefs, are working in some parts of the country. I spoke to Carol Tallon, CEO of the Property District, about the current situation. She told me that this problem is not just limited to the likes of Galway and Dublin and Cork, but universities that are growing in recent years in regional areas such as the South East Technological University. They're also experiencing accommodation pressures. But while it might not be comforting for students who are starting college in just a couple of weeks' time, Carol told me that there are positives coming down the line.
We actually have a strong pipeline of student accommodation under construction at the moment. So right now we have somewhere in the region of 47,000 purpose-built student accommodation beds. But actually there's a further maybe 1,300 to 1,400 actually under construction right now. And in terms of our planning pipeline, there's actually, we have a very strong planning pipeline. We know that there is in excess of 10,000 student beds that have gone through the planning process successfully and that are on track to be delivered over the next number of years. And in fact, there's proposals still going through planning that would add a further maybe 1,000 to that. So we do know that there's somewhere in the region of 11, maybe 12,000 student beds coming on track over the next number of years. However, they all require the development environment to be able to deliver on these projects and build them out. Insofar as we have a housing crisis, we also have a student accommodation crisis. And in fact, the response to that was labelled as an emergency response. And in fact, only just before last Christmas, we did hear that there would be an emergency response of about 1,000 student beds. However, only last month in July, we found out that only 116 of these 1,000 promised beds on campus across universities had actually been delivered. And that generally just illustrates the delivery lag between funding and then the physical output. And that's part of the problem we have in 2025.
That was Carol Tallon, the CEO of the Property District, finishing up that report from Jessica Woodlock. Jessica, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.